July 31st. I'm your host, Larry Bavery, and first off, I must apologize because we have audio difficulties. All this new hi-fi audio stuff at Blog Talk is not working for me right now, so we have a lo-fi audio connection. But hopefully by the next show, we'll get all the problems ironed out and get things working. I hope at least things are working to the point you can hear me. So, without any further ado, let's get on with the show. Karma is a bitch. You think you're smug in your life, everything's going great. You got the luxury car in the garage and a fat bank account, and you can go out and spend $50,000 to kill a lion because that's what you do, and it all blows up in your face, and you suddenly become the most hated man in America. Well, at least the pressure's off Cosby for a while. Yeah, what goes around comes around, so they say. But here's what's going on. We have this guy, the dentist, who figures himself the big great white hunter, goes off to kill a tame lion, Cecil the Lion, a tourist favorite, Casper Milquetoast the Lion, and it turns out that he is in deep trouble right now. Seems like he violated a few hunting laws, and you can't claim ignorance. They say ignorance of the law is no excuse. And what he did, well, first off, hunting lions with arrows, besides being extremely cruel, is illegal, but he did that anyway. They dragged a dead elephant carcass out of the park and into some nearby farmland to lure the lion out of the area where it's off limits to hunt, and then shot him with an arrow. The lion ran off because, being the tame lion, he tried to get away. A real vicious lion would have closed the distance in a hurry and made short work of that dentist, but anyhow, depending on what account you hear, it took 1 or 2 days to track down the lion. And then, depending on what account you hear, they either shot the lion with an arrow or with a rifle to finish it off. And of course, then they took the head and the skin to make a so-called trophy. But that's not the end of the story. Seems like this is not the first time the dentist has been in trouble. He had a hunting violation for killing a bear at an illegal spot and then falsely reporting the location. He also settled a sexual harassment suit from one of his employees in his practice. And it seems like this lion was not enough. After that, he wanted to bag an elephant. Yeah, you know, those endangered species that are killed by poachers right and left for their ivory. Well, he wanted a 65-pounder. Well, 65-pounder, well, that's not the weight of the elephant, that's the weight of a tusk. And he wanted to get this elephant, but unfortunately for him, and fortunately for the elephants, an elephant of sufficient size could not be found. Now he's in hiding. And here comes the karma part. His practice is apparently shut down. His social media pages were being deluged with protests. One of them was shut down. He had a page on Yelp I looked at, and it kept putting up all kinds of fake comments and hostile comments. Just like a year or so ago, this bed and breakfast ran afoul of people, and there are all kinds of things posted on Yelp about it. Of course, none of these comments are actual customer experiences, and Yelp apparently is deleting them, and they keep getting posted. I haven't checked to see if his Yelp page is still there. My advice is sell the practice to someone else for whatever you can get out of it. Change your name, move to another state, and maybe somehow you get through this. But payback is a bitch. How do you feel now, William Palmer? Not too good, I'll bet. Now, what about this Tom Brady? Here's another one. Seems like the Patriots, even though they are a good and should be able to win handily without cheating, they decide they've got to have that extra edge and cheat. And cheat they did, and not just once. In one instance, they spied on opposing teams in contravention of league rules, and of course, they deflated footballs because Tom Brady likes a soft ball, make of it what you will, and the evidence is pretty clear, at least the league thought the evidence was pretty clear, but it goes beyond that. If you just say, I'll take my punishment like a man, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, I've learned my lesson, but no, he destroyed the evidence. He had a whole bunch of incriminating text messages on the cell phone that the league wanted to see. Surprisingly, doesn't that seem kind of like the Hillary emails? People want to see them for evidence and they conveniently disappear. Or the Lois Lerner emails, same thing, they disappear. So that's what's going on. And Time Magazine has an article, here's why Deflategate is still ridiculous. And in fact, Time Magazine doesn't make a whole lot of it. They say the NFL created this mess by their rules. And they say, why didn't the NFL rules dictate someone keep a close eye on the game balls before kickoff? Well, yeah, that's inexplicable. Apparently they were too trusting, too lax in their supervision. And it says that the NFL is correcting this flaw in acknowledgement the old policy made little sense. Roger Goodall says deflation is like taking steroids. Well, Time takes issue with that. And number three, they say Tom Brady needs a better cell phone plan. In his decision, Goodall said Brady destroyed his cell phone right before investigators interviewed him so they could not look up potentially incriminating texts. Brady also said he regularly smashes phones, and this particular destruction just happened to coincide with the date of the Deflategate interview. This stretches credulity. Of course it does. Why would someone regularly smash phones, even if they got the big fat wallet of an NFL quarterback? I would say, would you say he's lying? Yeah, I'd say that. Or Tom Brady needs a grip. Yeah, get a grip. He needs a grip on the ball, for one thing. So he's going to pay the price. He's going to take a vacation. He's going to sit out a few games, like, say, a quarter of the season. Karma is a bitch, right, Brady? Now, what else comes around? Hillary Clinton. She has committed one crime after another and seemingly gotten away with it. And her husband has gotten away with a whole lot too, including alleged rapes, groping of women, and demeaning the office, for one thing. He should have been impeached. Well, of course he was impeached. He should have been convicted because perjury among ordinary people. I'm assuming you're an ordinary person. I'm an ordinary person, more or less, so I don't have any special privilege. They pay the price for perjury. It's called prison. It's called hard time. It's called life in the big house. So she's seemingly gotten away with it and was assumed to be a walk-away winner of the presidential election, not to mention the Democrat primary that comes up before that. But people instinctively know she can't be trusted. She's a liar. She's a criminal. Even though they want to like her, they want to see a woman president, their intuition says, no. She can't be trusted. We've had enough lying weasels in the Oval Office. One more might be the straw that broke the camel's back. So we have in the week the astonishing weakness of Hillary Clinton. That Hillary Clinton is unpopular as she has ever been. Her campaign strategy has been to hide out. They say her opponents in the Democratic field do not pose a plausible mathematical threat. Well, where are these people? Bernie Sanders? Well, yeah, he can get a lot of attention, but is he a viable candidate? And what's with this Maryland governor, O'Malley? Martin O'Malley, liberal, extraordinaire. He can't be a serious candidate. So Hillary's crimes are about to catch up with her and derail her life's ambition. Yeah, karma's a bitch. Now, I want to show you a few things that came up. I like liberal callers, this show or other shows that make ridiculous statements. So let's show you one now. Liberal James called the Mark Levin show about a week ago and went on a rant, a typical liberal rant. Let's listen to that now.
How are you? I hear you would you want to challenge me on something.
Yeah, because you talk about like you having your head up. How do you feel now, dude, about you and that knucklehead Mark and your guy Wayne LaPierre, that the guy that killed all those people down there, they have some foul up in the FBI checking the background, dude. You got guys that think like you. You don't want no background checks, Dan. How you feel about that?
I'm letting you yell because I like when you do that, because the audience listening in, because that must be a liberal, because he's really angry. You calm yet?
I'm calm, but you know what? You guys make me sick. You got this stubble.
I thought you were calm.
If I had my own gun to sell my grandson, I don't have to give a background check.
Is this your version of calm?
Are you happy now? Are you happy those 9 people were killed because guys like you and Mark Levin and the NRA?
It's Levin. It's Levin. No E at the end. It's Levin. There's no E at the end. James, you calm? You want to take a breath? Why are liberals so angry?
I'm not angry.
Are you okay?
I'm a guy. The guys like you want everything that you want.
Okay. Wait, what do I... Is there a question in that, or did you just call it a yell at me and Mark Levin?
Bazooka Dan, is that what you want? Is that your ultimate goal?
What? What's my goal?
Access to a bazooka.
Yes, that's my goal.
That's
yes, bazookas.
Like you and Mark Levin, because you're both a bunch of right-wing nutcases. And if it wasn't for FBI, we got the background. We got the paperwork
James,
wrong.
You...
What do you say about that, Dan? Guys like you and Mark Levin make me sick.
So the government made a mistake on a background check, and this is conservatives' fault?
Yep. Like a liberal just goes totally nuts and then hangs. Well, here's another surprise. Hardball, Chris Hughes versus Debbie Wasserman. He asked the question, old Debbie was not prepared to answer. Namely, what's the difference between a socialist Democrat? And of course, she couldn't answer that. So what's going on here when even hard left hardball type Chris Matthews is seemingly going. Well, let's take a look.
Hey, do you want to see Bernie Sanders speak at the Democratic Convention, win or lose? Do you want to have him up there on the stage as a socialist representing the Democratic Party? Do you want him up there?
Bernie Sanders.
Do you want him on the floor of the
Bernie
convention?
Bernie Sanders has been a good
should
Democrat.
He speak?
Caucuses with the Democrats. Of course he should speak.
Speak in prime time.
He should speak at the Democratic National Convention.
In prime
convention.
Time, with everybody watching.
Bernie Sanders represents a big
party. So the answer is yes.
I said yes. I can say
but
yes again.
But in prime time.
I don't know what time he should speak.
Oh, maybe when nobody's watching, you mean?
No, of course Bernie Sanders should speak. He should speak in a slot where the appeal that he has across the board, the progressive, populist message that he has that resonates deeply and widely with the American people, not just with Democrats, absolutely that should be featured. The difference between us and the Republicans is that we really are a big tent party.
Okay. Well, what is the difference between a Democrat and a socialist? I used to think there was a big difference. What do you think it is?
The difference between...
A Democrat like Hillary Clinton and a socialist like Bernie Sanders.
What's the difference between being a Democrat and being a Republican?
Well, what's the big difference between a Democrat and a socialist? You're the chairman of the Democratic Party. Tell me the difference between you and a socialist.
The relevant debate that we'll be having over the course of this campaign is, what's the difference between a Democrat and a Republican?
I think it's a huge difference.
Looks like she's on the spot because actually there's a terrible difference. Although I thought I heard Chris Matthews say at the very end of the clip, I think there's a huge difference. But he's putting the head of the Democrat Party on the spot. Highly unusual, I'd say, but times aren't changing. And now, with all this non-candidacy in the Democrat Party, where's Joe Biden? It seems like he should be the heir apparent as the vice president to be the next president. Certainly, if Hillary fails, wouldn't he want to jump into the race because there's no other viable candidate? I mean, he seems like a likable guy. I mean, at least if he was on The Tonight Show or late night TV doing stand-up, I think he'd be great. He'd be hilarious. I don't think I'd want to see him in the office of the president, but that's just because maybe he's a little incompetent, maybe his political ideology is not any good, but he'd be great at doing stand-up. I don't have the sound bites handy, but he's come up with some real zingers before, quite unintentionally. Like telling the guy in the wheelchair to stand up. Oh, little things like that. Meanwhile, we got a Republican circus going on, something like 16 candidates. But what's going on with the Donald? Suddenly he's looking more and more like a serious candidate. What's going to happen with the debates? I think he's going to eat their lunch. Why? Because he just says what he thinks and says what he means. He just doesn't give a damn what other people care about that. If they don't like it, too bad. And that's what people want in a president. They don't want someone who triangulates the numbers of the polls and then tries to say things that please everyone, then they know when they get into office, they do the exact opposite of what they said they're going to do. I think it was it Mark Cuban said, well, I like Trump. I don't particularly like his policies, but he's not a politician. And maybe he has a chance because people don't like politicians. People don't want politicians. People don't like the establishment. They don't like weasels like Karl Rove going in there and deciding who's going to be president, what they're going to say. And they aren't telling Jeb Bush for the debates, don't engage with the Donald. And whereas that's in Politico. And so does Warren Jeb, don't engage with Trump. So Trump is going to be teeing off against Jeb Bush. And Jeb Bush, well, he's in a lose-lose situation because they tell don't engage him because he's going to come up looking like a loser and he's going to give Trump credibility if he considers Trump a threat. And then if he ignores it, he's just going to take hit after hit and not have a comeback for it. So it should be entertaining. Here's what I'm thinking about doing. I'm planning on maybe having a two-hour show running concurrently with the debate and air the debate and put in my own 2 cents, take callers, let them put in their own 2 cents, see where it goes. And then afterwards, come back and say an hour with a summary and decide who actually won this thing. Anyone taking bets? I'd put my money on the Donald, but that still doesn't mean I have confidence it'll go all the way to the election, because some people said, well, he's a spoiler. His job is to step aside at the last minute and let Jeb Bush get in there and run against Hillary. There's a lose-lose proposition for the public. No matter who wins, then the population loses. We'll have illegal aliens coming in, stealing jobs, creating crime, because Jeb loves illegal aliens. So does Hillary, not for the same reason. See, the Democrats love illegal aliens because they think they can turn them into illegal voters who will mostly vote Democrat. Republicans like illegal aliens because of their alliance with the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce figures out the illegals will work cheap. They'll work under the table, maybe. They'll drive wages down, drive prices. Well, prices for workers down, the law of supply and demand. And who else is going to take a hit on that? The minorities who are in the country legally. They're the ones taking the hit for all these illegals. Maybe that's because, surprisingly, Trump is scoring well in the polls with illegals. They figure every time Trump makes a statement, they call it a gaffe. They figure, oh, that's it, he's done. And that's the mentality that goes on in these debates. Those debaters are going to spend hours and days and weeks, they already have, prepping for the debate, planning the reflexively spurred out pre-programmed answers to every conceivable question. You ask a question, they will have a pre-programmed, memorized answer they're going to say, except for the Donald. Donald Trump is going to go in there, and he's just going to go in there unprepared and off the top of the head, tell people what he actually thinks, what he wants to do. And if they don't like it, too bad. That's why he's going to win, because that's what people like to see. When you go up against someone like Putin, the macho man Putin of Russia, you don't want some weasel. You don't want some Obama letting Iran dictate the terms of some agreement, selling out the whole store, giving away the store, selling out America, selling out Israel. You want someone who's going to stand up, someone who's going to have a little machismo, someone macho man who's going to stand up to the tyrants of the world and set them straight. You think Jeb Bush is going to do that? Hell no. You think Clinton's going to do that? Well, we see what a mess she made out of Benghazi after all her previous campaign ads about what happens when the red phone rings at 3 a.m. Who's going to take the call? Well, evidently the phone rang in the morning, and as Secretary of State, she did not answer the call. She did not send the necessary reinforcements to fight back the, well, whatever you call them, the Muslim extremists of the moment. You call them Al-Qaeda, call them ISIS, IS. It's the same bunch. It's just a rebranding strategy. It's called marketing. And then the Obama strategy of arming them, You set up bases, get in exchange, retreat. They take the American weapons, and you bring in more weapons, rinse and repeat. You bring in weapons for them to capture, and they do it. They've got surface-to-air missiles and all kinds of good stuff now, the best we have to offer, and they're going to use it in some hideous way. But that's okay with the establishment, because it means it's just an excuse to take more of our liberty. You notice everything they do has an Orwellian name, like the Patriot Act means Lose Your Rights Act. That's just the way it is. Well, I tell you what, you want to listen to another liberal rant? I don't know how well I'm sounding on this show, but I'm wagering it's not too good audio quality wise. So let's see what we got here. Oh, Liberal Steve. Well, we don't have time for Liberal Steve at the moment, but how about what's this? Liberal Dan on Pelosi. What does Liberal Dan have to say about Nancy Pelosi?
To me, I think she meant that you won't know what's in the bill until it comes out of committee.
Yeah, that's his take on why, when she said you have to pass the bill to know what's in it. And here's another liberal idiot caller.
Hello?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Were you calling in to make a comment?
Yeah, so that's much more, you know, my name is Joey. I'm from New York, and I don't agree with anything you're saying right now.
Okay, and why?
I've listened to the show over the past hour, and you got it wrong. Listen, conservatism is a lie. You got to be liberal, dude.
Do you work?
Do I work?
Yeah.
No.
Okay,
yeah,
I
work
got
at
you.
Subway.
No, you don't work. Okay, I got it.
I work at Subway. Dude,
do you play health? Do you pay health insurance?
What?
Do you pay health insurance?
No, my dad does that.
Exactly. Do you pay taxes?
Dude, I don't know, bro. But listen,
I'm not a bro.
Dude, be a liberal,
I'm not
bro.
Your dude.
Come on.
Get a job. Quit playing
dude,
video
I'm
games.
Dude,
I
hang out and party and drink
get
beer with my friends, bro. I'm a normal 18-year-old
hey,
bro.
Hey, wait. I'm not your bro. I don't deal with that nonsense. You're not my brother. You're not my fraternity brother. You're not my Masonic brother. You're not my biological brother. So don't call me bro.
Listen, dude, you got the wrong thing. Listen,
don't call me dude. You can call me Mr. Butler. You can call
me
Charles.
We need to follow
our
president
and
leader.
Those other crazy
Barack
names.
Obama. He's a great leader, and all the other Democrats are great.
Get a job.
I haven't heard one bad Democrat.
Get a job. Get a job.
Dude.
Get a job.
Dude,
when you get
Democrats
a job,
rule.
You can come talk to me. Grow up. Go get a job. Be a productive
dude,
citizen.
Come on, bro.
You know, this guy. Hey, don't you love it?
Well, so much for the liberal mindset.